Welcome back to Misunderstood. I'm Rachel Yucadell. So I follow this woman. Her account is called Shop with Caroline, and she is this fascinating woman who is constantly in underwear, covered in a ton of jewelry, is unapologetic about her cellulite and all things about being middle-aged, which I love. And I find her enthralling, fascinating, beautiful, and I wanted to have her on the show. She does a great job with finding the best dupes on Amazon and other places where your fashion choices look really expensive, but you can find it at a total discount. So I wanted to bring her on the show and find out who this woman was. If you don't know her, Caroline Bodino is her real name. She's a dynamic and influential personality in the world of fashion and lifestyle with over 720,000 followers on Instagram alone. As the vibrant host of Shop with Caroline, she brings a keen eye for style and affordable trends directly to our audience, helping them navigate in the latest fashion with ease and flair. Additionally, Caroline's candid and engaging presence on her podcast, Coming in Hot, showcases her ability to connect with her listeners on a deeper level, discussing everything from personal growth to the hottest topics of the day. So today, we get the inside scoop on who she is, how she got here, and what is in her future. So please enjoy my conversation with Caroline. This episode is brought to you by our sponsor, Holistic Goddess. I have to share something that's really made a difference for me. It's Bison Trifecta from Holistic Goddess. I've been diving into holistic health more seriously, and Holistic Goddess has been a big part of that journey. For me, it all started with their Bison Trifecta, which is a blend of freeze-dried bison organs, heart, liver, kidney, in capsule form. Now, for some people, that may sound scary or even gross, but I'm telling you, it's amazing. The effects are tangible. You see them, you feel them, and I do not leave home without it now. When I first started taking it, I felt a noticeable boost in my energy and focus within just a few days. I was managing my hectic schedule so much better and skipping my usual midday crash. The energy and focus are just my favorite parts, but with Bison Trifecta, you get the benefits of three organs: heart, liver, and kidney. It's comprehensive, supporting hormone balance, immune health, collagen production, and more. The purity of this product is just as impressive as the benefits. No vaccines, no antibiotics, no hormones or fillers. Just clean, bioavailable nutrition that your body absorbs right away. Now, a couple months in, I cannot imagine skipping a day. As I said, I just went away on a trip to the Bahamas. I took it with me. I took it every day. People kept asking what it was, and I was happy to share the wealth. It's become an essential part of my daily routine, and I cannot recommend it enough. So use the code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off site-wide. Visit holisticgoddess.com. That's HOLISTICGODDESS.com. Use code UNDERSTOOD for 15% off.
You literally go in there, and when your arms are up like this, it doesn't beep. That's the
got
trick.
It. You can't okay, so all your jewels. You never take this off. This is on all the time.
I sleep with it. We have sex in it. You know what I mean? Like this isn't coming off for any reason unless I have 2 hours to myself to just take it off.
And you keep adding to it. Is that?
I do. I'm like, Mr. T, my neck's getting heavier. I will remove some pieces and like add some, but it is pretty big stack at all times. Like, look at this. It's psychotic. Like I've lost my mind, but I decided that when I'm dead, I'm not taking it with me. So I kind of want to enjoy it while I have it. And I think a lot of us just keep everything hidden away in our treasure boxes. And then they wait for a special occasion. And I honestly think you're the special occasion. I think you waking up every day literally is a special occasion. So why wouldn't you dress up for it? And right. Why wouldn't you wear all your jewels and enjoy it?
Well, that's the whole thing though, of why I wanted to have you here. So normally, you know, this is a podcast for people that are misunderstood and people that have been reduced to a headline. And why I wanted to have you on, I mean, I really sort of stretched the niche here a little bit, but I actually felt it was really appropriate because there's a lot to be said for being over 50, even over, you know, in your 40s and feeling like life is going downhill and feeling depressed and feeling like you cannot find your happiness. And I think
you
a lot
feel
of
misunderstood.
Yeah.
You do. Going through menopause, your husband does not, your family does not understand you. Like most women are terrified do not recognize themselves. And then their husband doesn't understand anything they're going through. So you just look psychotic and you are acting psychotic. I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I'm 52. I'm postmenopause. Mm-hmm. It is insane the feelings that you go through and how much understanding and communication has to go on with your husband. And you have to find yourself again. And right. that's really my whole purpose was me realizing I had lost myself and I didn't recognize myself in the mirror anymore. And I literally was like, where did Caroline go? Like, I'm somebody who loves to get dressed, loves to be my jewels, have fun. I'm like, my best friends are all my girlfriends. Like, I'm a girl's girl. I love to travel. I like adventure. I love fun. And I'm like, where did that all go? Just because I'm a mom or because I got married or had kids? I was like, I didn't understand why I gave up on me. And now I don't even recognize myself. And now I have to find a way to bring her back.
Right. So you have over 700,000 followers on Instagram, which is insane. It's incredible. And I think people have found you for your fashion, but obviously stay for the message, the inspiration, and because they feel like you're their friend. They feel like you're relatable and they feel like they get you and you get them. So I wanted to have you on so people really could understand more of you. I know people can now find you on your podcast, which is amazing. I've listened to a bunch of your episodes. I think they're fantastic. I love when you answer all the questions that people want to know, but that's why I wanted you here, because I want people to know how you got to this place. So if it's okay with you, can we start a little bit like way Absolutely. Back when, like tell us where you came from, how you got from New York to LA, like give us all that little insight.
Absolutely. So I, growing up, you know, my dad was in television. So we did grow up. My dad was president of Univision. So we did have a big life in that sense. Like when I was in high school, you know, with that came the torment of fame and him being the head of a network and all the ladies. And my dad was Cuban and really liked the ladies, unfortunately. So for us, so it was one of those things where you kind of grew up in this world where you're constantly watching your mom be disrespected, but then put up with it and have to stay for the money. And this was something to me that like I watched growing up my whole life. And it always, you know, really bothered me, because I would always be like, you're so smart. You're so beautiful. Like you, there is more to this. Like this, all this unhappiness can't be it. And the fact that he would control her and then she would have a huge fit and then he, you know, she'd give in again. And that's something that just stuck with me. So once I left school and I went to do Spanish soap operas and I was like doing the whole acting world, I was engaged to some, you know, very wealthy guy that my parents thought would be perfect for my future. And it was like everything that was expected of me. And the truth is my parents, you know, are immigrants that came here. They worked their asses off and they expected me to do well. They expected me to marry well, not do well. They expected me to marry well. That's right. The truth. That was the tradition. And when I walked away from that, you know, when I walked away from that engagement, it was like a literal nervous breakdown my parents went through. And it was the moment that I decided I'm going to bet on me. It was like that first time that I took kind of matters into my own hands. And I was like, I'm not happy. Like, I feel like my voice isn't heard. I feel like I'm always having to kiss ass. I always feel like I can't really say what I feel because I'm scared that he might walk away or he might pull the rug under it or he might not buy me the Chanel bag. It was like this whole dependency that you're like, so now I'm dependent. I have to do whatever you want for me to be happy and get what I want. And I was like, I don't like this dynamic. So from there, I literally took off. I moved to Miami. I shot a
How did you find like the self-esteem and the courage to walk away from someone who was sort of taking care of all that?
And he was like my parents, you know, they were kind of like, so you're walking away from the helicopter, the driver, the mansion, the Hamptons.
Stability. Yeah.
Stability. I mean, they kind of like, and I go, so, but if he walks away, what is where's the stability? Isn't it more stable for me to have money and me to make my own money and know how to take care of myself? Because I was like, he can walk away. And he did. He fucking did. So all of that that my parents were pressuring me for, and I kept giving in and giving in, thinking this is what I'm supposed to do. My parents sacrificed a lot. At the end of the day, my chauffeur handed me a letter to my door. And I opened the letter and he said he was getting back together with Zach Trofan.
Oh.
And I was like, I'm sorry, what? And literally, called him. He was, you know, stockbroker, you know, whatever. Called him. He was like, you know, S&Ps are about to open. I was like, get the fuck home. I was like, are you kidding me? He was like, we'll talk about it tonight. And I was like, fuck you. I was so disgusted that I had put up with all of this shit. And now look at me. Now, exactly what I thought would happen is happening. Now I'm the fucking idiot that has to put my tail between my legs, have to take my stupid suitcases, and I don't get any of his money. I don't get any of the things that was promised to me. And it was the greatest life lesson to me in that moment was it really is about you taking care of you, because he can take care of you, but he can also walk away and take everything with him. And I've seen it now with a lot of friends going through divorce.
Right.
It is the most brutal thing to watch, is to see them be left with nothing after, you know, taking care of it all.
So I just want to talk about this for 1 second because I have definitely been there myself. And what I don't think people stress enough or people really get is, as a woman, having that financial freedom is, to me, the most important thing. I cannot date somebody I don't like anymore. Somebody I have to put up with stuff anymore. You don't know if someone's going to die, if something terrible is going to happen, if they're going to leave you, choose someone else. When you have that financial freedom, you can literally be alone or date anyone you want. They can work as a gardener, or they can be the CEO of a company. And it really wouldn't matter because the financial freedom is about you. And that is what empowers a woman. That's what empowers me, I've realized. And it's a terrible place to be in without that. So go ahead.
Sorry. It's so true. Cause my mom, I always said she was the most independent, dependent person I knew, because she thought she was really independent. But at the end of the day, she could never let him walk away, because she didn't know where the money was, and she didn't know how to pay the bills, and she didn't know where things were. And I'm like, I look at her now, because trust me, I got into a little soup like that. Mm-hmm. And that's when all of this started, was getting myself back out of that. But at that time, I just remember thinking, I don't feel happy.
Yeah.
And I remember always feeling stressed and anxious, because I had to, like, I was like walking on eggshells. It was literally walking on eggshells all the time. Like, when he would come home, you weren't sure how he was going to act, or if he was going to be in a good mood, or if he's going to. And to me, that instability is basically what I was growing up with, because my dad, you never knew when he might leave. So it was, again, I'm like, so I'm going to put myself in the same situation and I'm going to end up the same. And I remember always saying, like, I don't want to end up like my mom. I love her. I respect her. I adore her. But that's not my future. I was like, I'm CEO. I'm not marrying the CEO. I want to be the CEO. I was like, I'm not the trophy. I want to win the trophy. That's the truth. That's always been my mentality. I'm a hustler. I'm a hard worker. And me having to quiet my voice and dim my light for somebody else, to make somebody else comfortable in their darkness, that was never going to work for me. That was never going to work for me. So I knew at that moment, I was like, this is brutal. I was humiliated. We had to cancel a 80-person engagement party the night before. Everybody was flying in. My parents had to fly back. It was the scandal of scandals in New York, because he was like this big hedge fund guy. I mean, it was just like, I can't even tell you. Humiliation, lost it all. Driver, house in the Hamptons, helicopter. I lost it all in one day. Took a bus home, public bus with my Louis Vuitton. And I literally was like, I'll never do it again. That's just, I was like, I swore to myself, I will never, ever date anybody for money.
Where did you go? To your parents' house?
I went back to my parents' house, and then I took the job on the Spanish soap opera and moved to Miami, and I took off. I left the environment. I cried, and I remember thinking, if I leave, he's definitely not going to find me. Do you know what I mean? You know, sometimes you stay, he can at least find me. He knows where I am. This was like, I'm going to fucking get out of here. He's never going to see me again. I got to leave all of this. I have to stop listening to my parents. I have to stop listening to all the jabber, like them pressuring me. I was like, I'm not making good decisions. I was like, I have to get out of here, because what suits my mom doesn't suit me at all.
Yeah. Well, I love that you found something to do, because a lot of people would have just hid under the covers for a while or went on to the next boyfriend. So you were able to find a job and go to Miami and do something that gave you a sense of purpose to get your head out of it. How did you even find that next job?
So we were interviewing. My dad was working for Univision, and they were shooting a new soap opera in Miami. And it was like the first time they were shooting something in Miami. So they kind of wanted more Americanized Latinos, you know. So I speak fluent Spanish, but of course you wouldn't know. I don't have the accent. You know, I was born and raised here. They wanted that vibe, because there was going to be like students going to college and stuff like that. So I was playing a college student. And when they reached out to my dad, they're like, hey, is Caroline interested? Because we know she's an actress. Like, would she audition? And I was like, I'm not doing a fucking Spanish soap opera. I was like, no interest. No. And my dad was like, actually was the greatest advice. He was like, do you want to work and make money? Or do you want to just sit around doing nothing, waiting for someone to do? And I was like, he's like, there's an opportunity. Either you take it and work your ass off, or don't fucking complain about anything. Then you just sit here, you take what you can get. And I was like, fuck. I was like, all right, I'm going to take it. And I signed the papers that right there with tears. I just signed it so that I couldn't turn back. And once I signed, I had 2 weeks to pack all my shit and move to Miami. And that made me go into action. So rather than sitting and thinking and dwelling, I think taking action was what really helped, and to keep moving forward and not kind of sitting in it. And like, listen, I cried. I was depressed. He took off to LA. He rented the penthouse in the peninsula, partied his ass off. Imagine hearing that. I'm sitting at home hysterically crying over like a breakup. He's renting and showing off and all his bullshit. But at the end of the day, guess who called me a month ago? Guess who reached out a month ago?
A month ago, like meaning literally a month ago?
Literally a month ago. I got a text and he called and FaceTimed me.
And what happened? Did he ever marry the ex-girlfriend?
Never married the ex-girlfriend.
Does he follow you on Instagram?
I think so. He's watching everything. He was like, congratulations. He's like, you're really killing. He's like, you were always smart. I go, yeah, I know. I was.
Wow.
Yeah, I wasn't the idiot. And I was never going to be the idiot. So this was never going to work out. Because I was like, I'm just for you.
This episode is proudly brought to you by Lola V, an award-winning hair care line founded by the ever fabulous, ever iconic Jennifer Aniston. We all put our hair through the ringer, coloring, heat styling, stress aging, the list goes on. And now we've got the summer heat, which is a battle too. We're talking about sun, beach, and that ever-present humidity. Jen got tired of the struggle of having to choose between hair products that work and ones that are actually good for us. So she decided to create what she was looking for. Think of Lola V as your personal hair spa. Let's dive into Lola V, your ultimate summer hair saver. Created with the finest natural clinical ingredients, Lola V ensures your hair feels as luxurious and carefree as a summer breeze. Say goodbye to sun damage, tangled hair, and hello to shine, strength, and elegance. Summer is the season of confidence, and Lola V embodies the spirit. And here's a treat for you, our awesome listeners. For a limited time, you get an exclusive 15% off your entire order at lolav.com. Just use the code Rachel at checkout. So the thing that I use every day is the detangler. Every time I wash my hair, which is basically daily, I love it. It's light, it's not too sticky, and it has a lovely shine. The other thing I really love is the restorative shampoo. I use that as my go-to shampoo. I don't use anything else right now. And people, honestly, they comment on my hair all the time. The scent also is really good. It's like zesty, citrus, calming, rose petal flavor. And I just love it. It smells good and it kind of lasts. You really smell that walking, you know, down the street. You get a whiff of it. It smells so good. So check out all the Lola V products. Go to your website at lolav.com. As our loyal listeners, you will get an exclusive 15% off your entire order when you use code Rachel at checkout. That's R-A-C-H-E-L. That's 15% off your order at lolavie.com with promo code Rachel. Please note you can only use one promo code per order and discounts cannot be combined. After you purchase, they will ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. Your hair will thank you. Are you ready to elevate your health? Meet Field of Greens, the ultimate superfood powder. Packed with wholesome organic ingredients, it's your daily dose of greens in a glass. Just one scoop delivers a powerful blend of nutrients, vitamins, and antioxidants to boost your energy, support your immune system, and keep you feeling your best. It's easy to mix, delicious to drink, and perfect for any lifestyle. And only Field of Greens is backed by a better health promise. At your next checkup, your doctor will notice your improved health or your money back. Don't look back and say, I should have paid attention to nutrition when I was younger. Field of Greens is a key to better health today when it matters most. So my favorite thing about it is that I don't drink water. I don't like the taste of water. I don't like drinking water. And since I've started this, my intake of water has skyrocketed. I enjoy drinking water. It does not taste powdery. My favorite flavor is the berry. And I find that this is the only thing I want to drink. I've stopped drinking cola because I've liked the taste of this so much. So let's get you started with 15% off and free shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use promo code UNDERSTOOD. That's promo code UNDERSTOOD at fieldofgreens.com. And that's something interesting, too, in doing some research on you. You are not an idiot by any means. You went to George Washington. You studied psychology. You got into NYU, right? Am I getting
that
right?
Yes, you did. Yep.
Yeah. And so you really have had an education and you know what you're doing. So
I love it.
How did you meet your current husband?
Oh, my God. He's the best. So John, literally, I was like, I'm over it. I really was like, I enjoy my own company. I'm very independent. I was like, I want to work. I want to make money. And I don't really care about getting married. I was like, I watched a shit show at home. That didn't appeal to me necessarily. So I was kind of like, if I get married and have kids, great, one day. But that's not what I'm rushing into. That's not my end goal. So I literally moved out to LA. Spent probably 4 years here before I met John. I was like going out, we were auditioning, we were, you know, going to acting school, making your friends, kind of like building a life here in LA. And at that time I was dating this kind of manager guy, which again is always me saying, you got to know what you want to get what you want. Like me dating this manager guy, he's dating the 15 other celebrities. Like he doesn't give a shit about you. So if I'm talking about wanting to get married or wanting to have kids or wanting to have stability, but I'm dating the asshole who's dating the 15 actresses, what am I expecting to get out of that? That's where you have to be honest. Like I have to be honest with myself. Like if I want a good guy, I got to marry a good guy. Like, I can't expect the head of Universal to kick my ass, you know what I mean, when he's dating Lucy Liu in this one, and like you see him on the phone. And I was kind of like, I need to change what I'm doing to find what I want. And I don't know if that was very like mature of me at the time, because I remember thinking the bars, the clubs, like, this doesn't work for me. This is not where I like to be. This isn't my happy place. I like to work out. I like to be healthy. Like, I like to, you know, go to the beach or go to a picnic. Like, I don't want to sit home and watch football on a Sunday. I want to go to brunch. I want to go out. I want to be with our kids, like, whatever that is. I was like, that's not my type of guy. Cut short, I'm dating this manager guy. We go to a birthday party, and I dreaded it. Of course, what they say when you don't want to go and you don't want to deal is always the night. So I had been filming that day, like, an Old Navy commercial, and I thought it was hot shit. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm busy. I'm exhausted. I can't go. And my friend was the guy I was dating. Thank God for him. He was like, you are such a bitch. She would never not come to your party. Like, you got to at least show your face. And I was like, fine, I'll go. We get to the club. It's pumping. I'm like, oh my God, no. I was like, I can't do this. I don't like the nightclubs. I don't like all that bullshit. And literally I call her and I'm like, hey, I can't get in. It's packed outside. She's like, get your ass to the door. I'm standing outside, you asshole. She's like, park the car. You're coming. I'm like, fine, park the car. Next thing I know, I walk up. It's John, his identical twin, and a girl. And I will literally tell you, I just saw him and I was like, this is exactly my type. Like, I was like, I'm with this idiot, but he is exactly what I would write down on paper. Like, looks wise, you know, like this nice smile, seems so kind. I was like, he's cute. I was like, okay. Cut to, we end up chit-chatting that night. A month later, the now sister-in-law, the girl that was with his identical twin, she kept reaching out, trying to make a plan. I was like, I'm busy. And everybody was like, he's a really good guy. I'm like, he's so young. He's 4 years younger. He can't possibly be ready for a relationship. And they were like, he is the nicest guy we know. He is no bullshit. Like, he might be younger, but he's very mature. And I'm like, you guys, this is crazy. She locks me into a dinner. She's like talking all about the boys. We end up meeting after for a quick drink. We made out that night. 5 months later, moved in. 2 months later, engaged. And we've been married 18 years now.
Wow. That is a great story. Okay. And so you guys have two boys.
Two correct? Boys. 12 and 14.
Okay.
So teenage years.
All right. So talk to me about how your Well, while you were married, what were you doing for work?
So when I was married, I was doing all the hosting stuff. So I was working. I always wanted to work. I was like always making my own money, which is an interesting point because when you become a mom, right, this is where the dynamic switched. And this is where I completely lost myself. But as when we got married, we were married 4 years before kids. We were traveling. I'm somebody who, again, loves adventure, loves travel. We wanted to have parties at our house. We wanted to buy a house before we had kids. Like, we were quite responsible about it. We were like, oh, let's get pregnant immediately. We don't even know each other. We're like, let's really get to know each other. Let's really be ready. Because I knew kids would change things. And they do. Yeah. Changes the whole dynamic. So from that, I was doing the hosting show. I was hosting Universal, like an entertainment show. So always working, always making money until the second baby came. And then everything came to a screeching halt. And then next thing I know, I'm home 24/7.
And was that a choice because it made more sense for you guys, for one of you to be home and really be there with the kids?
Absolutely.
And you didn't want the kids to be raised by a nanny.
Yeah, absolutely. The point was, my parents warned me. They said when I met John, he was graduating business school. He was not wealthy. He was not this big, successful guy. Anything I had ever dated before, nothing that they expected from me. Luckily, when they met him, they're like, he's the greatest guy, nicest guy. But not like we had money. It wasn't like he moved into my apartment. I had the nicer car. I had more money. I mean, I was making more. So it was one of those things that it was about, how does this person treat you? How does he make you feel? And there was no roller coaster ride. There was no nervousness. Like, he called when he said he was going to call. There was no games. There was no bullshit. And for me, coming from a dad that was a playboy, I just wanted that kind of stability. And I knew he could bring that to me. And I was working. And then all of a sudden it came to a screeching halt. And yeah, we couldn't afford the nanny and we couldn't afford the night nurse. And I had to stay home and I had to take care of things. And it wasn't easy. Like, my parents said, like, listen, when you have to, like, money, love is only good to a certain point. And then you start with the money.
If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door. No insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
Okay, wait, let's talk about that because yeah. I've been through that too. Yeah. And I think that people can really identify that. So when there is that dynamic missing of the guy who's taking care of everything and then money is stressing you all out, how did that affect your marriage?
I felt definite resentment. I did. I felt like I was doing it all. Like I felt like I was doing my job and I was, you know, doing it well because I was like with the kids 24/7. I'm up all night. I'm at every gymboree, at every class. Like I'm doing all of that. And I felt like I was taking care of my side of it, my job, which again, now it's funny because now we both do everything. And right. So why did it have to be my job and his job? But for me, I kind of felt like I'm killing myself. Like I'm here, I'm doing it. We're sacrificing. Like, when is this going to turn around? Like, when is this? And it's like, yes, when you're watching your friends make more, when you're watching people move up, move on, you are, it's a constant comparison game. It is a constant feeling of what did I do? And maybe my mom was right. And it's not because you don't love them, but you're like, God, it is hard. Life is hard. Kids are expensive. Life is expensive. And you just don't think about that when you're like, yeah, like, you know, you don't think about what comes after that and the stress and the struggles, because John and I actually communicate really well. We get along really well. But to say I have been wanting to kill, you know what I mean? I've literally said to him, I'm getting on in the car. I'm going to the airport. I'm disappearing. And I'm never coming back. There were moments like that. And he was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, you're never seeing me again. Okay. I was like, I'm out of here. I'm done. I can't take anymore. It might've been one of my menopausal outbreaks, but it was this feeling like a caged animal sometimes. Right. And feel like, how do you get out of this now? Right. And I kind of started to feel like, I think I have to do something. I think I have to take charge. Like, I think I need to do something for myself because me constantly depending on you and I can't control your actions. I can't control what you do at work. You know, I'm more of the hustler. He's not like where I don't know who you're talking to, what moves you're making, where I know what I'm doing and I know what I feel good doing. So it had to be this honest conversation of, does this dynamic work? And how long is this going to take to get there? When you're seeing other people get there so much faster and there is a resentment there, there is an anger there, and there is something that you have to consistently talk about. And I think we have to communicate no matter how hard it is to hear, just everyone's doing the best they can. And you realize everyone's story and journey is so different. And maybe worked out, you know, younger for some people, happens to be working out later for us. And that's okay.
So your platform so much now is about like not sort of laying down and giving up. It's about, even if it's just about for you, and to be honest, it should be for you, but to get up, make yourself look good, make yourself feel good, find a purpose for yourself, not about the kids, your husband, whatever. And then that will resonate to everybody else. Before we get into what you're doing now, like, tell me some of the things that you went through. I know it's menopause. I know it's, you know, what you're talking about, having to hustle for yourself and getting financial freedom. But talk about those things you went through that made you be like, okay, I'm going to take the, you know, the horse by the reins, whatever. Absolutely. And figure this out.
I just remember feeling like I didn't feel like myself. Like, I remember thinking like, I am smart. Like, I do know where things are, yet I'm kind of acting like I don't. Or like, I kind of realized, like, I was like, I could help, but I remember thinking, feeling resentful of like, why do I have to?
Right.
And it's like, you should have to because you want to, right? And because it's good for you and because it's actually great to have a job and great to work and great to have something of your own. But at the moment, it really was this decision of it's like me versus you rather than us as a team. And I kind of kept being like, we kept pointing fingers rather than being like, okay, what's missing? Are we all doing what we really want to be doing? Are we all happy? And how do you get to a place of happy doing what you really want to do where maybe the roles are a little different. Maybe we're not doing what we thought we'd be doing. Maybe we might be judged by others. You know, people like, now he stays at home, or he's with the kids, or he's at pickup. And yes, I've had teachers already say to me like, oh, you're never here. Already the mom guilt. Already like, you know, you never come around anymore. And I was like, I pay for school. Like, moms pay for school too. Like, just FYI. And it is that feeling of our roles were changing. And on all of a sudden, honestly, the biggest blow of all was he got the biggest opportunity of his life and his entire team was let go. So last year, it was like he finally got what we had all been praying for all these years. And I think within 4 months or whatever, blindsided, entire tech team was released, was let go.
Wow.
And we were like, I mean, it was like, if I hadn't had something of my own, I honestly don't know. Like, I may have freaked out. I may have had a nervous breakdown. I may have been like, I can't take this anymore. I don't know. I feel so grateful that I had taken those steps. I had built that foundation before shit went down, that I actually knew I was capable. I knew I was smart. And I was like, we got this. And I think my attitude of being like, we got this, it's going to be okay. You're the smartest guy I know. You're going to fucking find something. We're going to be fine. Him then all of a sudden being like, not defensive, feeling like loved. He was kind of like, well, let me see how I can help you. Cause all his clients were Instagram, Facebook. He's a tech guy. And then he started helping me. We start growing. And I'm like, wait a second. And he's like, why would I be making money for everyone else? Why wouldn't I make money for you? Like, why am I taking my expertise and giving it to somebody else rather than working for you and building you up, which is our business? And then we become a team. And now we're working together. Where him working for somebody else, he was on somebody else's call time. He was on somebody else's beck and call. And I always felt like he wasn't helping me, or I need help with this. I need to do this. And I felt like I couldn't reach above water because we didn't have any help. And I didn't have any help. So I was doing Instagram all by myself for 6 years straight.
Right. So before you started Instagram, did you think to yourself, oh, I want to go into the workforce. Maybe I should look for a job, like a 9-to-5 job? Or did you always say, well, wait a minute, I can kind of do this on Instagram? Like, how did the idea come about?
You know what it was, Rachel? Honestly, I knew I wasn't going to do a typical everyday like 9-to-5 job. I kind of knew that like sitting in an office all day, like, wasn't my vibe. I never done that. I don't have those computer skills, honestly, at the time when I was really thinking about doing something, which I think is what most moms feel. They don't know anymore how to do things. Like, I have friends now that literally said to me, she's like, who's going to hire me? Like, I haven't worked in 10 years. She's like, I don't know anything. I go, but you know everything. You're like the smartest person I know. What do you mean you don't know how to do things? So women feel so afraid to just start over or to pivot.
And it's also intimidating because you have all this life experience and you're very smart, but then you're like, but they're hiring like 25-year-old girls, you know?
Everyone should be hiring moms or women over their 50s.
I totally agree. But it is intimidating to think that you're in the same pool as these young girls, you know?
Absolutely. It feels competitive. It feels jealous. It feels petty. Rather than feeling like we're coming together to make a team and build something. And it's like, you're coming with experience. What can I learn from you? That's just not the way it works. You know, it's harder now. And it's like the older people aren't as respected for their knowledge. But yet I'm like 50 and over. I have never felt more powerful. I've never felt smarter or more capable. Like, I feel like I have my shit together and it feels fucking good. And it did not feel good 7 years ago when I walked past that mirror and I was like, who the hell is that? Like, that does not feel good. That does not empower me. That does not make me feel, you know, strong, capable, like fabulous. Is it me looking like shit? Is it me being a hot mess or not knowing where anything is? I honestly feel my most powerful when I'm in control and when I do know how to do things. And I feel like that gives me that financial freedom because, again, just knowing how to do it is what makes you smart. So I think women just cut themselves off without realizing that your kids are going to grow up. They're going to graduate. They're going to go to college, hopefully, or whatever it is that they go do. You build, you know, hopefully you create these incredible human beings that have an incredible life. But then what happens to you?
Right.
And I think that 18-year-old moment of how do I start over? How do I pivot? Women feel completely lost and misunderstood, honestly.
Right. Okay. So how did you do it? Because people look at you now and you have such a niche and you're so good at it and they can't remember what it was like for you when you were first starting and you had like, you know, 100 followers. So how did you come up with the idea? How did it evolve? How did you even say, oh, people want to hear this from me? Especially when you were talking, like when you said, looking in the mirror and being like, this isn't the person that I, you know, feel powerful in this body, in this mindset.
Yep. So really, to be honest with Rachel, I was like, I will never forget that moment of walking past the mirror and just looking and being like, this isn't Caroline. Like, I was like, where is Caroline? I was like, Caroline was dressed. She always looked cute. She lost her jewels. She loved her makeup. She was smiling. She's happy. She's positive. I looked in the mirror. I kind of saw sad. I kind of saw bored. I kind of saw frustrated. I saw a little resentful. And I loved my kids, loved my husband, but there was something missing. And I was like, me taking care of myself shouldn't be what's missing. Me putting my oxygen mask on first. I mean, again, on every single plane, I always say this because it's just, it's such an interesting and simple way of looking at it. There isn't a single airplane that don't say, put your oxygen mask on first before you save your kids and husband. So there is something about me being like, I looked in the mirror and I was like, what am I going to do? I was like, I'm done with this. I was like, this version of me does not work for me anymore. And I was like, I don't want my kids seeing this. Cause I was like, I want my kids seeing happy. I think my kids deserve to see me happy. And I was like, what would make me happy? And I started to have that conversation of like, I was like, I'm going to get dressed again. I was like, why do I look like shit every day? I was like, I'm going to start getting dressed again. I was like, I have so many cute clothes. I was like, why am I not taking the time? Why am I so crazy in the morning that I don't have 2 minutes to get dressed? So I was like, I'm going to talk to John. I'm going to set aside time in the morning. So I was like, I want to start getting dressed and looking like myself again. I was like, I want to bring that best version of me back. And I really was talking like this. I was like, I don't know what it was, but I was like, John, I'm done. I was like, I want to look good again. I want to feel good again. And that, you know, when you look good, you feel good, you do good. And I was like, where those moments came in that I was like, okay, I think there's something there. I was like, when you walk past the mirror and look like shit, you feel like shit. And there's something, that negative backtalk that you do. And then what does that do for you for the rest of the day? I was like, but I know when I make a little time for myself and I use my little happy tools, whatever that is, like a little movement, a little gratitude, get dressed, put some good music on. I literally will look in the mirror and be like, oh, you look cute. Like, I'll be like, oh, I love the outfit. And that is a different, like that adrenaline, that fun, like that feeling good about yourself. What do you do with that the rest of the day? How do you treat your family? How do you treat your kids? How do you go to work? There is a happiness factor in how you look and how you perceive yourself. So for me, it was like looking in the mirror and being like, okay, we're starting over. We're starting from scratch. But now we're starting from experience. And I was like, I know who I am. I know what I like. And I stopped doing all the things that I love. And I was like, why? And I kept asking myself, like, why? And I would talk to John. I'd be like, John, why did I stop playing tennis? Like, I love tennis. He's like, I don't know. Why did you stop playing? And I was like, I don't know. Why don't I make time anymore? And it was like these little questions that I was like, why did I stop doing all the things that I love? So I was like, you still play golf. You still go do things. I was like, you still have, to, you know, and I was like, why am I giving up everything? So it was kept having these conversations. And I was like, I'm going to get, so then all my friends were like, well, what are you going to do? And John would always say, you know, you're smart. Like you could start something, you know, do you want to get a job? I was like, no, I don't think a 9 to 5, like I do want to be with my kids. I love my kids. I do like being at home with them. I was like, there's got to be something else. So as social media is growing and we're watching Instagram, anytime I would post, it would just be my friends on there. And every time I post, it'd be like, what's the link? Or what are you wearing? It'd be more about what are you wearing? The clothes. And I'd be like, oh, great. I would start linking it. I thought, okay, I'll take one picture in the mirror. I felt like an idiot because I was very much like, trust me when I say, when I started this, the moms at school would make fun of me all the time. Like I heard so much shit talking about me. I think they were like, who do you think you are? Like, oh, are you taking a picture of yourself? Like, oh, like how cute your little Instagram. Or the husband would be like, why is she talking about her life? Like, that's so weird. Right. I mean, you know, I heard so much backlash.
Wait, and were you just like posting what was in your closet already? Or were you like going on shopping sprees and then posting that?
I literally would just be like a photo of me in the mirror, literally, and just tag what I was wearing. I don't even think I was linking it. It was just like, hi, this is the cute outfit for today. I wasn't even talking yet. It was just photos and like what's going on. And then as COVID hit, and I stayed consistent. That's the one thing I didn't give up. I was like, no matter how... I said, you know what, John's like, if you don't try, you'll never know. And it's like, who cares? Who cares what they say? Like, are these your people? Are these people that you love and respect? Are these people that you really care about their opinion? I'm like, absolutely not. And I'm like, you know what? I was like, I'm going to use this as fuel. That's how I honestly said, I was like, I'm going to use all of this shit you guys are talking and I'm going to let it fuel me. And I was like, I'm going to fucking keep going. I'm going to make this happen. If it's the last thing I do, I was like, I'm going to prove myself right. And I'm going to prove you all wrong. So I was like, I stayed consistent. No matter, I would go to the front of the school, Rachel, and they would all be in a circle whispering, gossiping, and I would pass them, go to the front of the school, facing them on my phone. And I would take pictures just to piss them off, like just to annoy them. I'd be like, oh, am I stupid? Okay. You know what I mean? Like I was having the best time with it. And next thing you know, you realize COVID hits. And for whatever reason, I start talking. I start going on stories. It was like, it would be really early, like 5:30, 6 a.m. No one had toilet paper. No one had eggs. No one had anything, right? You couldn't go anywhere. You were like trapped. I was like, you know, I started thinking about my parents. I started thinking about my childhood. I started kind of correlating things. You know, I'm a psych background, so I really enjoy psychology. I love reading people. I love being around people. So I started to kind of analyze my own situation. And, you know, you had hours to think. So I'd be like, so interesting. I'm like, why would I have done that? And I started kind of picking apart my parents. And all of a sudden, I started getting more DMs and the growth started. And they were like, wait, did you really just say that out loud? Or, oh my God, are you really talking about that? And people would be like, you're going on without makeup? Wait, where's the filter? Why are you on without a filter? Everybody's like, why are you showing cellulite now? Like, what is happening to you? And I was like, I'm taking the curtain off. I was like, I am done. I was like, you know what? I'm going to put it all out there. I'm going to tell everybody everything. I'm going to talk about it all. And I'm just going to relieve myself. It's going to be like my personal journal, my personal therapy. I'm going to just talk about all the shit I've ever been through and how I felt about it and what I learned from it. And that's it. I'm just going to talk about it. If everyone's interested, great. And they're not, okay, it's going to be my own therapy. And that's literally how Coffee Talk started.
So I love listening to you talk about your cellulite and to talk about the moments that you really had anxiety about walking from, you know, the chair into the pool. Because I think that is so real. We've all been through that, no matter how we look to other people. And we're so consumed with the fact that we think everyone is looking at us and what we look like in our bodies and the cellulite in particular, when we all have it. And it's something that it's just really in our heads and no one else gives a shit but us.
But everyone is so self-absorbed. No one is staring. Everyone's thinking about themselves. They're not staring at your cellulite. And if they are, do you really care? Like, how boring? I mean, seriously.
Right. Well, then those aren't the people that you want in your life if they're going to be like, talking about it. But the thing is that when you talk about that, that I feel like resonates with everyone. But it must have been so hard for you to do this from the chair to the pool, but do it in a public way that you're like, here is me in my bra and underwear. Look at my cellulite. Here is what's going on. And all it did was build your viewership. What was that like?
I'll be honest. It was so freeing. I'll be honest with you. It was so freeing. I was like, last vacation, I told you, I went to Costa Rica and walked around the entire house in a bikini. We had our friends staying there, their husbands. We had like the guy, the Airbnb owners came by. This like, I'm not joking, good looking guy. And yeah. I'm like, he's like, oh, is the air conditioning? I'm like, came out of the pool. I was like walking around showing him things. And there was a moment that I walked past the mirror and I was like, you are walking around the entire house in a bikini. I was like, you wouldn't have caught me dead. Like, and I mean dead, even in front of John. Like, I think even for a walk on the beach, I'd put a towel on or I'd put my cover up on legitimately. And I don't know what this psychological mind game was, but I would torture myself with it. And I would torture myself being unhappy, being, I'd miss out on moments. I'd miss out on incredible memories. Because I was more concerned about someone seeing my cellulite than holding hands with my kids and jumping in the pool. Like, I'm like,
right. I think everyone understands that, like, all the things that you may or may not have done because you weren't dressed appropriately or you didn't want someone to see you a certain way. And to now be in your early 50s and being able to do all of that, like, what is that like?
It's again, the best feeling ever. It feels like a weight lifted off my shoulders. I feel like I'm in control with the narrative. Like, I'm showing it to you. You want to make fun of it? Like, that's on you. But I'm just being honest. And I hope that we can all, be kind to each other.
Yeah.
And that makes you uncomfortable. Like, oh, that's on you. That's not on me. And I kind of realized, like, once you show it, you can't talk about it. Like, once I showed it and told it, yeah, here it is. You want to talk about it? It's right here. I'm going to show it to you. This is normal. I feel good about it. And I think once I accepted it, I stopped caring what anybody else said.
Right. And then, but I think for people listening that maybe don't know you yet on Instagram and they will after this, the point is that all it did is make you more likable, more relatable, because everyone can identify with that. And as opposed to like hiding in the shame of whatever it is for people that have gone through relationship issues, parenting issues, guilt, shame, the way you feel about your body. All that's done is opened up your life. And I think that's the best part of the message, that when you share that, when you make yourself vulnerable, that's when you can connect with other people, because everyone feels like that. So absolutely. I think that's why you stand out and why you've done so well, as opposed to hiding behind that just to do smoke and mirrors to do well, which, by the way, a lot of influencers do. You see them
really
all decked out, and it's all filters, and you don't have that.
No, not at all. And I started getting bored watching that. And that's the thing. Like, I really was on and I followed a lot of great people that I actually have unfollowed. And not because I don't like them, but like, I don't care about this Valentino dress walking down Fifth Avenue. Like, that doesn't interest me. Like, I like real people. I like knowing what's going on in your life. It's like, we're not going to be best friends or good friends if you don't tell me anything that's happened to you. Like, I don't believe that everything's perfect. And I know like we go through hard times. And if we can't share that, then there's no relationship to be built. And I just don't know why women feel so uncomfortable being honest. Like, we don't want to talk about finances. We don't want to talk about cellulite or body images. We don't want to talk about, certain things about a relationship, insecurities. Like, I don't know why we hide and don't talk more and share more and help each other rise. Like, that makes zero sense to me.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I think, I think the only way to get through it is to talk about it, because then who wants to go through it by yourself?
Well, and when you show it, don't you feel like it's like when you put it out there and you show it, you actually find so many people that actually agree with you, who actually are in the same boat as you. But when you're living this lie and you're trying to bullshit and you're trying to like make everything look perfect, I think you start to rub people the wrong way. And I do think people smell bullshit. And I know I did. I'd start seeing everybody like, wait, they're all doing the Nordstrom sale. Why is everyone doing the Nordstrom sale? So you don't really like Nordstrom. You're just getting paid. I started to catch on as a viewer. And I'd be like, wait a second, that's not authentic. I don't know if that's real. I was like, I don't know if it's her. Oh, the filter, that's not right. So I kind of started to like peel away at those things and be like, I actually don't like the bullshit. I want to see real people living their real lives and somehow improving themselves in some way.
Wait, incidentally, has a cellulite company ever come to you to do some sort of branding?
You know what? No, damn them. They should. But they must think I'm just comfortable with it, but they have not yet.
Well, it's so funny. Wait, I don't have it in front of me, but usually when I'm sitting in my office here, I have that home cellulite thing. It's almost like a
massager, right?
Yeah, it's like a massager, but it's like a cupping thing. I think it's really for cupping. But I as I'm doing notes and researching, I like put it on my legs. I put it on my hips.
I love the cupping.
It does. I love cupping. I feel like it totally gets my blood moving. Yeah. But I feel like first of all, obviously I do it. And then I go look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, oh, wait, I have a dimple here. I'm going to go, you know, massage this. And then like an hour later, I go look and it's gone. Now, maybe it's just gone for the hour. Who gives a shit? But, it makes me feel better. And it really stimulates like your circulation, which I think just in general makes you feel better about yourself. So,
but it's also putting work in, Rachel. You know, I think a lot of women too, it's like we get lazy and we don't want to do the work. And it's like, what are you eating? How much alcohol are you drinking? You know, how much sugar are you eating at night? Like when you're depressed or you're not happy at home, or maybe you're not happy in your marriage. And like, what are you eating? Like, what are you doing? What pills are you taking that cause a lot of weight gain? Like, again, it's taking responsibility, because we've all been there and we've all done it. And for me, it's like, take a little responsibility, look at your situation, and you can improve it and you can change it. And I think that's something that we don't feel powerful in, but we should.
Wait, and I want to talk about weight gain for a second, because it's important. Yeah. I think that a lot of people, again, feel shame and that have taken the easy way out, which, again, to each their own, no problem with it. But Ozempic has become, and semaglutide, whatever, has become a big thing for people. And people love it. And that's great. Some people have an adverse reaction to it and can't use it. What are your thoughts on aging and gaining weight, also the menopause thing and gaining weight? Like, what has worked for you and how you get your body to where you want it to be?
I have to say it's very hard. I think women do not know what's coming. I think no one talks about menopause. No one talks about how your body changes. And I think that's so cruel, because I didn't know. And I went through the hardest part of menopause during COVID. So all doctor's offices were closed. There was no getting any HRT. There was nothing. Like, you weren't going to get anything. So I was just taking vitamins literally to just get by. I was having the most horrendous hot flashes.
I was going to ask how you knew that you were going through it. Because I feel I've been going through perimenopause for like 2 years. Once in a while, I get all these hot flashes. I won't have my period for like 3 months.
Yep.
And then I get it again. So I don't really know. And it's funny.
I think you're in peri, which is the beginning. And you got 2 to 5 years in peri. So you can be having just like random hot. It could be 5 years before and 5 years after. This is about a 10-year process, just so you know. And women think it's, 1 year and it's over. No, it is a very long process. You start losing your hormones slowly but surely. So as you deplete your hormones, you start to get the effects of it. And those little tiny, hot flashes become so intense. Every single night, I would have to have an extra pair of pajamas sitting next to me with a towel. Every night between 2 and 3 in the morning, not joking, every single night for a year. Get up, go pee, take my entire outfit on, drink shit out like this, not joking, put the towel down, new pajama, then get back in bed. Wow. That's how intense it gets. Then your moods, your anxiety goes through the roof. So I didn't know anything about anxiety. I started having anxiety attacks. And I'd be like, why am I so anxious? Like, why do I feel like this? I felt kind of out of body. And it'd come and go. It was like, it would be like kind of a panic attack feeling and then pass. Oh, what the hell is going on? Then the rage, you start raging. You're super emotional and you become the Hulk sometimes, like literally could rip your shirt off and turn green. Like, you are a monster sometimes. So you wonder, I literally was like, I think I've self-divorced. I was like, it's women going through menopause. Of course, like this makes sense. Like I look like I savage. Like John, if I couldn't communicate with him and really start, I'm feeling really weird. Like something's happening to me. Like I don't feel like myself because I'm not an angry person. I'm not a crazy person. I don't hate you right now, but I feel like I hate you. I was like, something is happening. So I think once I started to kind of understand that like, this isn't me, something's not right here. This doesn't feel right. I called my doctor, started talking to her and she was like, oh, we're deep in menopause. Like this is, you know, you're in the thick of it. And it was like trying to figure out what vitamins worked. I didn't want to do HRT because number one, the doctors weren't available at the time. I also had two friends get breast cysts after taking it for 6 years. And now they're going every 3 months to get, you know, mammograms. So that really freaked me out. And that's not to say it's for everyone. I always say to each his own completely. I have no judgment here. But I thought all those symptoms, okay, so that all gets super intense. Then the weight gain, you go literally from 10 to 20 pounds within a year, like, and you have no control. You get like a tire around your waist. You're like,
wait, and do you think that's because you felt like you were eating more or it's literally just happening no matter what
I was eating more. I was taking an anti-anxiety because that's when my dad was diagnosed with Alzheimer's. And I started taking this anti-anxiety. I can't remember the name. It's like Meropenem, something like that. That after doing research, it's one of the biggest weight gaining pills there is. One of the side effects is severe weight. And like, so didn't know that. So between that, and then I think the let's have a drink. Like you're always kind of like, let's have a drink, take the edge off. Or like, that's, you know what I mean? Or going out for dinners and you're eating and then you're snacking at night and then you're having anxiety. So you're, I think it was all, it all is like a vicious kind of circle that hits you so hard and it's coming at you from all different directions to the point where you do not recognize yourself anymore. And talking about feeling misunderstood, like you're going through so much and you cannot explain it. And nobody understands. Like your husband sure as hell isn't going to understand.
So I feel like they should have like an Al-Anon group for men to understand what it's like for women to go through this.
They need help. Like they do need support because what we put them through, as much, I used to joke, like, you know, everyone gets pissed when they say, oh, you're on your period. And you're like, don't tell me I'm on my period. That is menopause. Like you are a lunatic. Like you are crazy. So I was like, be sweet that. And then you start gaining weight. The weight gain is so psychological. I've always been tiny. This is my natural weight. This is my weight before I had my first son. Everyone thinks I'm like so skinny. This is my natural weight. I wasn't for a very long time. So when you start not to feel like yourself or look like yourself, again, it plays complete mind games on you. So you wonder why women are depressed, why they're even more anxious. Like you're walking past this mirror, you're gaining weight. You don't know why. You're feeling crazy. You're sweating. Like your husband's annoying the fuck out of you. You're like, what is happening to me? And I think there you have to start taking charge. And for the weight, to me, I thought intermittent fasting was one of the best things I ever did. I cut alcohol out completely for a year. And it wasn't because I had an issue or problem. I was like, it's a ton of sugar I'm drinking every day, like a ton. And, you know, it's on a Sunday. Me and my best friend, yes, we could drink a bottle of wine. Let's be honest. Like we could sit at the pool and have a bottle of wine. It's like, now it's Monday. Now I'm disgusting. And, you don't have time to work out. You're getting busier. And all of a sudden, it all catches up with you. So I literally cut alcohol out for an entire year. I did intermittent fasting from 6 p.m. at night. I would not eat again till noon the next day. So I would literally cut food off. So I would literally have lunch and dinner. That was it. Protein with some vegetables or a salad. And then a coffee in the morning.
Right.
No desserts, no sugar, no alcohol. And
did you feel deprived or you were fine?
I was kind of fine. I got used to it because I was kind of like, you know, when you want the change, I think I was really ready. And I really was like ready to invest in myself and be like, I really don't want to feel good. Like I don't want to be on a Monday morning. I want to get to work. Like I want to wake up feeling my best self. And I realized those little things was just holding me back. And I'm like, I really don't need that. I'd rather get some good sleep. Like I want to feel good in the morning. I want to feel productive. And the more I got up early, I would go work out. So I'd get my walk in. I would get my workout in. Like I started to feel more energy. I started to feel better. And little by little, slow and steady. And then I switched my pill, my anti-anxiety pill. And I changed it to, I forgot the name of it. The one that everybody is on, I think, but it's, and then I lost weight from that. So I think the pill was really affecting me.
Like Lexapro or Zoloft.
Yes, that's it.
One of those.
Lexapro is what I'm on now. And the lowest dose, like I went on the lowest dose just a little bit. Cause my dad just passed. My mom's living with us now. My 86 year mother, thank you. She just moved in with us. So to say it's been very overwhelming and stressful, I'd be completely lying to you. So we're just trying to find our happy in the hard right now and just trying to find that normalcy again. And I think all of that plays so many facts. And I think women just don't, you know, you're going through so much. Like you are dealing, it's a sandwich years. Women don't forget that you're dealing with your kids, you're dealing with your husband, and you now start to deal with your parents. And I think a lot of women don't realize that that elderly parent stage sneaks up on you. Mm-hmm. And it is so incredibly stressful. And your parents most likely haven't told you the truth and they have not prepared you and they probably don't know what they're doing. My parents were two of the most, you know, greatest successful people. He hadn't paid taxes in 2 years. We didn't know he had Alzheimer's. You know, we didn't know he was not remembering things. We didn't know he didn't pay the bills. Like, they don't tell you. And my mom keeps going on like nothing. And then all of a sudden, the women are stuck in sandwich years. And that's usually menopause, little kids, elderly parents, and you still have a home and your own dreams to find.
Right.
Imagine how overwhelming that would be.
Well, yeah, of course. So, but that's why I want to go back to what you're doing now and how you found that, because I think that's so important for these women and men too, but people that feel stuck and don't know how to find that purpose. I mean, to me, that is the biggest thing, like finding a purpose that makes you feel good about yourself. So you started talking, you know, to the camera, in the mirror, and making it motivational.
I started to have these relationships, community, started to build a community. I feel like it was more of like a female community of a lot of women being like, me too. Right. Like feeling that too. And I wanted, you know, I was like, okay, let's talk. And I would honestly, Rach, I would respond to every single person. I would stay up till 3 a.m. I would respond to every single DM. I'd respond to every comment. I remember thinking like, we want to build a community of women that support each other. Mm-hmm. And what does that mean? And I remember thinking like, I'm going to work every day at building people up, at building women, you know, female founders of businesses. Like I just started to interact with people more. I started to feel like that momentum of helping women and talking to women, I started to feel more empowered. So like the more that I think my biggest tip is if you're getting started, right, and you don't know what you're doing and you wake up and you're kind of like, how do I do this? How do I get out of this? I always say, first of all, it's slow and steady. Stop rushing to the finish line because you're going to miss everything in here and you need this foundation to be able to enjoy this at the end. So for me, it really was about slow and steady. What do you like to do? Okay, just go back and think about a time that you were happy or that you looked your best. What did she look like? What was she wearing? Like, what did she actually look like? Who does she surround herself around? Like, who makes you feel happy when you're around them? Like, I have friends that make me feel great. And I have friends that suck the life out of you and suck the energy out of you. And I think it's about starting to build those boundaries. I start to build boundaries of, does this person make me feel good? Is this really fit my future? Or is this me making excuses for her because she's been friends for a long time, but it doesn't suit me anymore? The boundaries were a huge thing of figuring out, what do you want? And for me, I knew I wanted to be happy. That was it. That's all I said to myself. I want to be happy and I want to feel good in my own skin, in my own real life. I don't want to worry about what anybody else is doing. I want to make my life the one I don't want to escape from.
So the more you're talking, you're making me realize you didn't come from this place of like wanting to be a fashion blogger. It was more about you are using this as a tool to find some sort of motivation. And it just happens to be that you find outfits that make you feel good. And it's the motivation that you are that's your inspiration.
100%.
It's come through fashion. I mean, that's how people are identifying with it. So let's talk about fashion for a second, because you really have become somebody that is very good at finding dupes. Now, I always watch you and I'm like, I don't understand. Is Amazon, forget the other companies for a second, because I love when you do Amazon stuff. I just want to tell you this because number one, it's super easy. It gets delivered super quick. And then if it doesn't work, you can return it super easy. So those are my favorite ones that you do. How do you find those? Do they contact you or are you scrolling through Amazon every night?
A psychopath. I order everything. I buy it all. This is not like, I mean, I have like a little stipend with them, but it's nowhere near. Like I buy it all. I have it all. I touch it all. I wear it all. I'm like, okay. I literally like the last couple of weeks, I am like dying from what's coming. Like, I'm like, it's so good. The stuff that's coming for the next 2 months is so good that I'm like, the fact that people think you can't look good or that you can't afford or that you can't look fabulous affordably kills me, because a lot of the comments are, you know, that's just too expensive, which of course I understand. But when you start realizing that Amazon not only carries luxury, it does, it carries all the luxury goods, carries all the big brands. You have Gandhi on there, you have Free People, you have everything on there. But the fact that it's easier shipping, it's easier, you know, Amazon owns Shopify. So everyone is like, oh, do Shopbop. I'm like, Shopbop's on Amazon. They're owned by Amazon. So you think you're all fancy going to Shopbop, but it's actually owned by Amazon. Right. So everyone poo-pooing Amazon. I'm like, Amazon has given life back to women. Honestly, I was like, I am so proud to work with them and so proud to have built such a great business with Amazon, because the fact that you could look amazing under $50, it gives women, it takes the excuse away. And I love taking the excuse away of like, oh, I can't afford it. Or like, it's too hard. Or I can't make that work. I'm like, well, I'm going to show you 5 outfits. I'm going to show you how to dress really affordably. I'm going to get you that Hermes bag. I'm going to let you have the feeling of having it, because all you want is the feeling and the look of it. Right. I own one, and 5 minutes later, I want a different bag.
So, okay. So I think people that watch you would really want to know this. Are you looking at something like in the magazines at like Vogue and then saying, okay, let me go on Amazon and see if I can do the same thing on Amazon? Like, how are you actually legitimately finding those outfits? Because okay, when you have them on, they look so good. You're like, where'd that come from?
Truthfully, we did one post that was like a Vogue article and we tried to match it, which is really funny. We did do that, but mostly I will spend hours scrolling Amazon and I will literally be like things that I have in my closet that I'll be like, okay, or people that be like, oh, I love that. Can you find me the cheaper ones? I will literally go on a hunt and then all the bags are killing me. I have all the nice bags. It kills me. The prices now, it's just so ridiculous to me. Yeah. Like I think that is obnoxious. And I think that the fact that you know, women now feel uncomfortable because they can't own that. And it makes you, it's like a status symbol. Yeah. I want to rip the status symbol away. So I'm going to be like, no, you actually can do all that and you can have it all. And the quality is insane. Like yeah. some of these bags, it's kind of not normal. And it's kind of ridiculous that they're this good and someone's paying $5,000 for it. Like no. It pisses me off.
And I can verify because I've bought some of those. And like my friend I was telling you about my friend I was telling you about at the beginning, she lives in a $10 million house in Laguna Beach and she's like sending me your dupes, which just goes to show you that like we like that makes glitter. Sense. We want to wear that stuff because it's so good. The quality is so good. From you, I've gotten, you know, the stuff you post, bathing suits, bags, outfits. My favorite thing, by the way, my favorite thing, I went to Paris and I wore the rhinestone flats. Do you know what I'm talking about?
You kidding me? I have them on almost every... It's my favorite ones. I think
people were stopping me about them. They're like, oh, is that Chanel? Is that whatever? I'm like, that's like $25.
On my Loro Piani, the bag, the little bags I've been carrying.
Yep.
You would faint if you saw
them. I ordered two before the show.
Trust me. You're going to text me later and you're going to thank me because that's what I'm taking to Europe. Like, I don't need it to have a label on it to make me feel good. I just want to be dressed cute and I want to feel good that like I put time to put myself together. Right. The labels, honestly, and I don't know if it's just getting older. I don't know if you feel that way too. I had a conversation the other day, like as you get older, Caroline Stanberry yesterday, we were talking and she literally was like, it's funny. All you obsess on is the bags and the clothes. And she's like, now at 48, I don't give a shit. I want to own property.
Yeah. I was going to say that. I love my home. I just got a pickleball court in my backyard.
I want to come play with you.
Yes. I'm putting on a new roof. Those are the things that I want to spend money on. There's no shot I'm spending all this money on bags and shoes and this, that, and the other thing. By the way, the shoes on, you know, the little mini kitten heels, whatever, on Amazon are amazing.
You're like more comfortable, Rachel. I'm not kidding. You're more comfortable.
The jeans you've done have changed my life.
Like so
the drop crotch jeans. I'm obsessed with those.
Obsessed. I just found the Frankie Shop dupes. You're going to faint when you see these jeans.
I can't wait.
The two-tone Frankie Shop. And I'm like, and that's my point. It excites me. I have so much fun. I'm not embarrassed. I'm not ashamed to be in head-to-toe Amazon. As long as I look good and I'm confident, I'm winning. Like, I don't need to prove anything to anyone. I can afford those things. And to me, I'd rather have more money in the bank. I think that makes me smart and capable.
Oh, also, I have to say, the other thing that I love that you did is it's like the Jenny Kane dupes, the sweaters, the button-downs, in black. I have it in cream. I took my daughter to Taylor Swift in Madrid and I wore the black one on the plane with one of the drop clutch pants. And like literally people think that I'm like dressed to the nines and I look amazing.
That's the point.
Yeah. So
I love that.
My one piece of suggestion that I would give you is I would love to see theme stuff. I had no idea what to wear for the Taylor Swift concert. So like, I'd love for you to do like, if you're going to Taylor Swift, here are the outfits you should buy.
Yep. That's a great idea. If you're going to a specific thing with your kids, we're about to put out the vacation entire suitcases. So if you want to travel with
St. Bart's
on.
Yeah. I got to wear in St. Bart's in Paris. You know, I went to Paris for Christmas with someone and I was sort of like, well, what the hell am I wearing to this? Because you want to look expensive and nice. You know what I mean? I wish I knew you that.
I know. Well, I could have sent you a bunch of stuff. I'm like, that makes me so excited and happy. The thought that you're out there looking fabulous, feeling fabulous, and you didn't break the bank. Yeah. I'm like, it honestly makes me happy. But yeah, we're actually, wait till you see the vacation outfits. You're going to die. I got you.
I love it. I love it. Okay. So tell me, I want the listeners, I'm sure want to know what your favorite outfit is that you found and the favorite brands, that kind of thing.
You know, I really right now, I love Ghani. I love Staud. If you want to invest, I think those are great investment that aren't too over the top, aren't super designer, but I think they fit great. They look great. Always have funky kind of little styles. Again, another higher price point, R13. I absolutely love the jeans.
I do.
And if not, I love Amazon. Like their drop crotch jeans are amazing. I love the drop. Always has great stuff, great quality. I love all the rhinestone like bags and shoes. Some of the evening dresses, even the suit that I'm about to show, it is like the exact dupe of a mango suit that I had on that everyone freaked out about. When I tell you, I found the Amazon one and it's so good. It's like a cream suit with the black lapel.
Wow.
To die. And you're like, there are some incredible, some of my best suits that I've gone to big events to have been Amazon suits.
Really?
And my shoes, the see-through shoes with the hearts. Did you see those? The slingbacks?
Oh, of course. Yeah.
The most comfortable shoes, the real ones you can't walk in.
Right.
These you can walk in. I have Chanel shoes that don't fit. The ballet flats that actually hurt. They have no support. There isn't a single Amazon shoe I wouldn't wear to go sightseeing all over Europe.
Right.
So you're like, what's happening?
Okay. Another question is, what do your closets look like? Are you a complete hoarder?
Yes. I think both right now, my assistant's laughing because it's so bad. Literally right in this room, we have about 5 racks, not joking. And then we have an entire Amazon section.
Oh.
So we have like basically a tiny room that is all Amazon. And then we've got in the office, the racks of like coats, dresses, more designers, things like that, that isn't used as much. Amazon is our biggest push because it is constantly flowing and it's amazing. And then my personal closet is more my own private stuff, like things that you can't really link, older things, more vintage things, or, you know, stuff that is completely sold out. You'll never find it.
Right.
And it's hard to wear those things because then everybody wants it and you can't find it. So it is harder to wear any of your old stuff anymore. So it's now.
And by the way, what I like that you do, sometimes you'll do some of these Amazon pieces and then you mix them with like an R13 or you do something expensive with a bunch of stuff that's not. And it really makes it so classic and makes the whole thing look expensive anyways.
I love the high low, don't you, Rachel? I like mixing and matching. Like I love that I can feel great in all Amazon and that I feel, at the end of the day, it's about feeling confident. And if you can afford those things and you can have them, then amazing. I just don't want you in credit card debt. I don't want you feeling like, you know, if something happens, you can't tell your husband you bought it. I just don't want women to be in those situations anymore. I've hidden packages. I've hidden credit card bills. Like I've split the bill in 2 credit cards. Like we've all done it. And I don't understand why women don't really talk about that and open up about that. Because you ask anybody about their credit card bill, nobody tells you the truth.
Right.
Like, I'll be like, oh, I didn't pay it last night. Or, oh my God, I'm scared. My husband's going to freak out. No one talks about that.
Yeah.
I think it's
a
shame. And I think once we really realize like you don't need all that shit and you can be really happy and save some money and feel fabulous. That to me is the most incredible message. Cause it's like, you can be your best version of yourself without having to feel like you're breaking the bank or you're, you know, hurting your family in any way or having credit card debt. Cause all that shit, that plays crazy mind games. I know when I had credit card debt, I was stressed out of my mind all the time. No matter how happy I seemed, I definitely had that constant stress in the back of my mind.
I know that people will want to know if you will ever do some sort of service where you are dressing people individually.
Probably not. I don't know if I would do like a personal styling thing. Like we love like the more motivational events of like meeting up, like some of the events we've been to recently where everyone comes dressed up, everyone comes in all their jewels. People are coming with like all their Amazon stuff. It's so much fun to kind of come together, hang out, everyone in their jewels. Everyone looks fabulous. You're seeing these women come back to life.
Mm.
And some of them have been women that were 10 years from a stalker locked in their apartments, have not come out, have not gotten dressed. And now they're standing in this room with all these amazing women dressed with all their jewels on and they have their life back. And I think it's all about bringing you back to life.
Right. Oh my God. I would love that. So like, do you have, you know, will you do get togethers where people can get up and tell their story about how they got?
We want to do like these kind of get together support community things where either it's, a, you know, the retreats or, you know, just like an event in Miami where we can get everybody together and just have some community and let people tell their story and everybody help each other. When we go into these rooms and to these parties, I mean, we're at like an event over at Jennifer Fisher, you know, over 150 people came and literally every single person was like, just so empowered to get up there and like, how can I help you? Everybody wanted to help each other. What business are you in? All these moms starting new businesses. How can I support you? Can I send you something? I would love to buy it. Next thing you know how good that makes you feel when all of these supportive women are saying, I want to help you. I want to try. And you see the confidence start to build. You see that they, you know what I mean, start to feel good. I had a husband DM me and I'm saying thank you for bringing my wife back to life.
Wow, that's amazing.
Like, she wasn't getting dressed. She was depressed all the time. I thought I had completely lost her. He's like, literally after listening to you for like a year, she's like, she's getting up. She's buying clothes. Like, she's killing her credit card. She's like, you know, he's like, she's having the best time and she's laughing and smiling again. And I'm like, that might be the greatest compliment I've ever heard. Like, that to me is my purpose. And the fashion and all that is just something that comes natural to me. And I love it. And it's one of my happy tools. But to me, seeing women empowered, seeing women lifted up and like that light that comes back on to think I can, and like, maybe I can too. Mm-hmm. That to me is the greatest motivation and passion of mine.
I'm curious if you think you'll ever get involved with doing a line, like a line of jewelry or like affordable jewelry that maybe you'll sell on Amazon.
And you should mention that. It's funny you should mention it because we do have a few pieces out right now. We do have some jewelry out right now. And we are going to continue doing the jewelry because we do want to make affordable jewelry that looks fabulous. And it's so good, Rachel. It's going to be amazing. And then hopefully we'll be doing, I'm hoping to do a drop for Amazon. That is hopefully what's coming up. I would love to do some sort of a really simple, you know, chic outfits that anyone can afford. Right. And it's like those staples in your closet.
Right. What about home goods, like home things, accessories? Will you ever get involved in that?
You know, we want to. We're about to redecorate. So like, I kind of want to get involved in figuring out, you know, Amazon has great furniture, you know, some of these other, you know, kind of smaller Ashley furniture. Like, there's a lot of great brands that aren't pretty expensive. So I would love to show how you can like redo things without breaking the bank and making your house look fabulous, feel fabulous, to want to entertain, to want to invite your friends over. I'm like, we've gotten to this place, like we have to go to some hotspot and spend $300. Like, why can't we invite your friend over for a coffee? When did we stop hanging out at each other's houses? When did you stop inviting me into your home? Like, when did we stop just hanging out? And why did everything become so like frou-frou? I'm like, let's just start, let's bring it back to life. Like, bring it back to real.
Right. What is the best and worst thing that's happened in the last 7 years that you've been doing this, that you've found out of this influencing through social media?
I realized that the bullying and, you know, the people that come at you, it is hard. Like, I'd be lying if I said that it doesn't affect you or it doesn't, you know, to hear things about yourself or someone be like, you know, whatever it is. Thank God it's very minimal. I feel very, very lucky that it's been minimal, but it doesn't matter who you are. I think it hurts. And I think having to come to terms with unhappy people hurt people, right? Like, hurt people hurt people. And I know for me, I'm very happy and I never, ever feel the need to go on anyone's feed or need to comment on anything or say anything to anyone. So for me, I realized they must be going through a hard time. They're obviously going through, you know, which again, doesn't make it easier, but at least you understand where it's coming from and you have to learn how to have thick skin. You have to learn how to, you know who you are, accept who you are and be okay with who you are and be okay that people might not like it and they might disagree with you. And I think when you're surrounded by your own friends all the time and everyone talks the same shit, it's easy. But when you get on a platform, I'm sure you too know that once you're out there publicly and once you're out on a platform, it opens the door for everyone to say their opinions. And it's not always easy to hear.
No, it's not always easy to hear, but, you know, just looking at you, it's so easy to see that once you find a niche, once you find your passion, once you find things that you're good at, you could take that little percentage of comments that really suck, those people that suck, and put them aside because I think there's an internal happiness that goes on and you continue to build on that and see the effect that you're having with other people. So whereas people are really, like I said at the beginning, people are coming to your page to see the fashion, to find out what else they can buy from you, to, you know, get their daily fix. I think it's also a really motivational thing of like, this person may see as a friend, even though they've never met you, which is, again, why I wanted to hear all this background about you, because I think people really want to know more about you. People should listen to your podcast. I'm going to have you talk about that in a second, but because it's so important that people realize you just didn't, you know, come out of nowhere and like, you're all successful.
Right, 7 years, every day for 7 years, 7 days a week. So when people think it's like overnight, I don't know where you came from. I'm like, it's been being on here every single day, telling your truth for 7 years.
And how important was it to see things that didn't work to figure out what does work? Because I think people forget about that too.
You do. It's like you realize, you know, certain things don't work. Certain things that you're working on, you know, I dreamt of a podcast one day. I dreamt of being able to like push this message bigger, louder. I just want women to understand that it's not over for them. I mean, just period. It's never too late. You're never too old to find you're happy. Like, you're just not. And the fact that that's a myth out there just bothers me because I see so much unhappiness. I have thousands of messages a day and I hear the real shit. Like, this is not, you know, people are calling you about suicide. They're talking about divorce. They're talking about pregnancies they don't want. I mean, this is like, people are not coming to you with nothing. This is like really serious conversations. Mm-hmm. And the fact that there's no support out there, that yeah. they're coming to a total stranger, which means there isn't support around you. Right. That makes it really sad to me, where I'm like, we've got to change things. We've got to change the narrative. We've got to change the conversation about women in their 40s and 50s. Like, yeah. we are not over. We are just getting started. And from a yeah. shit ton of experience. So why do we think we can't? And maybe it's the people that surround you. Maybe your partner. I don't know. Like, that's something you have to be honest with yourself, because I do see partners that aren't supportive of women, you know, wanting to be happy or wanting to start up something of their own. And it's so selfish to me, because it's like, yes, if you love somebody, you should want to see them happy. I know yeah. for my kids, I had somebody say, your kids must be so embarrassed by you, because I was so dressed up to go to school and I was wearing something. And I was like, that's so funny. I was like, so you think that my kid would be embarrassed by me looking my best, feeling my best and having a smile on my face. But you think looking like a hot mess, being miserable, cranky and yelling at them and being unhappy, that would not embarrass them. Right. Is that what you're saying? Because right. I was like, I don't think I'm embarrassing at all by being happy. My kids have never, if anything, they're always like, Mom, you look so cool. Or Mom, right. you look so cute. Or your mom, you're beautiful. They have never been embarrassed by me working hard.
I think as we get older, we start to realize that people's reaction to us has a lot more to do with what we trigger in them and their experience of their own life. And I think yep. it's easier to manage those criticisms because you know it has nothing to do with us for the most part.
Yeah. When you're nice and comfortable in your own skin, that's the greatness about our age. And the fact that we can, being comfortable in your own skin is the greatest flex you will ever have.
Yeah.
It really is. When you stop giving a shit what everybody else is thinking, and you actually like yourself and you look in the mirror and you feel proud of that person that's standing, you know, people ask me, oh, when is someone coming to save you? It's like, no one's coming. Your knight in shining armor isn't coming to save you. The woman right. in that mirror, that reflection, that is your knight in shining armor. That's right. the person coming to save you. So you better like her. You better respect her. You better think she's badass. And you better look at that mirror and that reflection and think, fuck yeah, she's coming for me. If you're like, oh shit.
And knowing your worth too, because I think so many people adapt to the person they think they want to be with. You know, they start to like the things that person likes. They start to dress in a way, whether it's sexy because that's what the person likes, or they tone it down because that's what the person likes. And I think it's really important, and it's taken me a long time to learn this, but to figure out what I like, be that person. And then if it makes people walk away from me, fine. And if it makes people come to me, even better. You know, I think that is, it's a very hard, long lesson to learn. But once you get there, you're much happier being alone, and you do not feel lonely even when you are alone. Because sometimes you'll be around a lot of people and feel super lonely because you're not yourself.
People are married, kids, huge families, on vacation on a yacht in Saint-Tropez and miserable.
Yeah.
So for me, I'm kind of like, I've seen the misery and the unhappiness, because when people aren't nice to you, or you don't feel secure, or, you know what I mean, you're not in this environment that makes you feel good. I don't care how much money you have. Like, I don't care how great, like, you're not going to feel good. So it is about you figuring out, how do you feel good every single day in your own skin, no matter what's happening? That's why we say, find your happy in the hard, because life's hard.
Another, it just came to my mind, another thing that I want you to do, either an episode on your podcast or in your little Instagram, is like different styles for different body types. Cause I know I love the drop crotch stuff. It probably isn't great for everyone.
No, like TikTok is the most hated jeans on America. I'm not kidding. Like TikTok went crazy on me when I wore those. I was like, they're like, those are the fucking ugliest jeans I've ever seen. I was like, what? I'm like, they're amazing. So trust me, if you want everyone to hate you on TikTok, wear the drop crotch jeans.
Okay. But that would be a good episode, you know, different styles or different body types. And also, I don't think people, you know, they're not as artistic or creative, so they don't know like things to bring in your waist, or, you know, something that elongates your neck, or I don't even know, but things like that, that might be tips and tricks that we can't think of that, you know, might be better for different body types. So that could be fun. Okay, let's talk about your podcast.
Thank you. So coming in hot, we were so grateful when Dear Media reached out, really, because, you know, we've been doing this obviously 6 years, and you never know who's listening. You never know who's watching. You know, you just have faith that like your message will get somewhere and hopefully will grow. And when Dear Media reached out and, you know, Lauren and them had said, you know, we want to buy these coffee talks. I was like, what? And they were like, yeah, we love this single. You just talking to camera, you telling people, you know, what your thoughts are, like basically coffee talk. Like, that's what we want. And I was like, oh my God, that's amazing. I'm like, how fun to be able to like really put that message rather than just on Instagram, but now do it, you know, speak for 45 minutes alone. And so I kind of jumped on it and I thought, you know what? Let's just make sure that we're empowering women. Let's make sure that we are lifting women up. Let's tell them every secret we've ever, you know, there is no secret. We work our asses off, and let's show what that is. Let's tell women what that is, so they don't feel alone. And so we decided, coming in hot, we're like, We want women, especially in their 40s and 50s and 60s and 70s. I have 80-year-olds that literally send me photos with all their jewelry on that you would die laughing. Like, they're like, Caroline, I'm going out again. They're like, I got my shit back on. I'm like, oh my God, like 85 going out to dinner with all their stuff on. And you realize everybody wants to feel good. Everybody likes to look good. And at the end of the day, don't you want to do good? Like, right. Isn't it more fun to feel happy? Isn't it more fun to feel good?
But also what I love about it is that it's not just for fashion, you know, people that are watching you for fashion. It's one thing, but when you go to the podcast, you're talking about being a mom. Mom guilt. You're talking about menopause. You're talking about your personal life, sex, you know, what it's like to deal with, you know, your kids in general and all the drama that's going on in their school and them growing up and getting sexual and all this really interesting stuff that I think everyone can identify with and wants this like best friend that they listen to. I think it's fabulous. What are some upcoming episodes that people can look forward to?
Okay, so we've got Caroline Stanberry coming up, which is a great conversation because she, you know, started over at 48, you know, she's 48, married to a 29-year-old and like just living her best life. And you're watching kind of thinking, this is pretty incredible. And we have finances coming up. We have Get Up, Get Dressed coming up next week, which is, my husband goes, I just listened to the podcast. He goes, it's so motivating because it's really what this is all about. And it's like why we got started and why getting up and getting dressed. It really isn't about the label or the clothes. It's about the action and how actions, when you take an action, it gets you out of your head. It keeps you moving forward. And next thing you know, you're feeling a little bit better. So it's all about that motion. So we've recorded about 20 solos already. And we have about like 10 interviews already. But they don't really want interviews. So like, but I love interviews. I love meeting women. I love like this community and this conversation is so important. So we're trying to mix the two a little bit more because I think it's so important to have strong female voices out there talking about what they're really going through, especially at our age. So I feel so proud to be able to talk about the things that no one wants to talk about. I have no shame. I'm not embarrassed. I'm happy to talk about it all because I think that if we don't say it, we're all just living a lie. And I'm kind of tired of the lie. I'm tired of the bullshit. I kind of want to know what's really going on.
I love that. Well, I think you should definitely have an episode on things that are misunderstood, on shame, like you're talking about.
I want to hear your story, Rachel.
I would love to come on and talk about that. Okay. I think I'm a little bit of an expert on all that. So anytime you need a guest on that, I will
be there. Trust me, you're coming. When I come to Miami, I better be meeting you and hugging you.
I would love that. That would be so much fun.
I would love it.
Yeah, and we will get in our bathing suits. I'll put on a bathing suit that I've gotten from you. We'll run around the
twin in our Amazon outfits and then show our cellulite off. Why not?
That would be so fun. All right, where can people find you so that they can watch you, hear you, all this good stuff?
Thank you so much. So Shop with Caroline is on Instagram. I'm on TikTok. I'm on Facebook. I'm on YouTube. And you can see my blog where everything is linked and highlighted. It's beingcaroline.com. And the podcast is Coming in Hot with Caroline.
And is it on YouTube as well? Or is it on
Apple? YouTube. It's on YouTube, Spotify, Apple, wherever you can listen to Dear Media podcast.
And you brought up the fact that you have this, you're talking about doing a line of jewelry.
That's on the blog.
Is that out already?
That's out already. We've got earrings out, medallions out, rings are coming out next. They're a killer. And then we're starting to plan more of a rollout to be more like kind of keep going. And then we might be doing, there might be a TV show coming up soon too. So there's a lot of stuff going on.
Amazing. I love hearing all this. I can't wait to see your future and what this holds. I can't wait to meet you in person. I wish you the best of luck.
I love you. Thank you so, so much. I really appreciate you. Mwah.
Thank you so much for listening to Misunderstood. I'm your host, Rachel Yucatel. Please be sure to subscribe to the show and give us a 5-star rating and review. You can support the show by joining our Patreon at patreon.com/misunderstoodwithRachelYucatel. Do you have ideas for the show or want to reach out? Email us at info@misunderstoodpodcast@gmail.com. That's spelled MISS understood. Thank you so much, and I'll see you next time.